How many believe God wants to say something to us today? Would you just bow your head with me? Father, we just come this morning and we're asking, Lord God, that you would just do something amazing. We're asking, Lord God, as we talk about resting in your presence, Lord God, we see there's two important parts, resting and getting in your presence. Lord God, I ask that as we go to your word this morning, that you would accomplish much in our heart as we look to this passage and see, Lord God, that the greatest thing we can do is rest in you. The greatest thing we can do is make sure that we are in a position and be in your presence to watch you do the amazing things in our lives that is needed, and to see how much you love us, to see how much that you care. And Lord God, may that be accomplished today for each and every one of us in our own special way, in our unique and wonderful circumstances, that you might get honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn with me to Mark chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 35 to 41. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. Passage where Jesus is calming the storm, where Jesus is ministering to his disciples. Verse 35 starts this way. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Father, just a moment as we go to your word, would our hearts be open and ready to receive what you have for us? And we will come with a heart of expectation. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus wants to give us rest and peace. Amen. That's God's desire. He desires to give us rest. He desires to give us peace. And we are so busy that I believe at times we don't know what we need. So we don't do what we need to do to get that rest. And I am finding out, the older that I get, the more I appreciate naps. Amen? It used to be a day where I could go all day, no problem, run all day at night, sleep like a baby. But I'm finding now, more and more, as on a Sunday morning, I get here early and begin praying and doing what's necessary for the service to do an hour and a half service. I probably have 20 or 25 hours at least in the service to get it accomplished. And I'm telling you, at the end of the day, after we go get some lunch and we head back home and I get in my favorite chair, you see here what's coming? As I get in my favorite chair and I begin to watch a football game, and then after about two quarters, I watched the end of the game. One of my friends said that you begin watching TV and then the TV begins watching you. And I believe that is definitely true. That you know, the more we get older, the more busy we are, the more things that we do, sometimes we just need to rest. And we need to understand. And you look at this passage, Jesus is sitting here. Jesus coming as man to accomplish what is needed for us to have salvation. Jesus as a man is sitting here. He's exhausted. He had just been teaching. He had been preaching. And his tank was empty. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Coming that your tank is empty at times. There's not enough hours in a day. There's not enough people to sometimes do what's needed. He says that the scripture says that he went back to the back of the boat, to the stern. He grabbed a cushion and he laid down. And I think of that passage. He didn't nod off. He went to sleep. You know, it wasn't just like a nap. He purposely went back to sleep. And while he was sleeping, the storm began. And while he was sleeping, the winds began to pick up. And while he was sleeping, these waves began to crash on the side of the boat. And they thought that these waves were going to swamp the boat. And if you ever did a study on the Sea of Galilee, it was rough. It could be bright and sunny, and the next minute, you know, it turned into this terrible weather. So they didn't know what, you know, to do. And the disciples woke him up, and they said, "Don't you care that we're going to drown? Jesus responds to them and tells them that they're lacking faith. But here's the thing that gets me. Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go to the other side." Jesus stood on that statement. See, and we need to stand on that statement. Jesus made a statement to them. He said, "Let's go to the other side." He had already told them what they're going to do. He had already gave them directions on what was going to happen. He didn't say, "I'm going to take you to the middle of the Sea of Galilee and let you drown." He didn't say, you know, that "I have plan B if this plan doesn't work." He says to them, "Let's go to the other side." He really wanted to see. Now hear me this morning. This may be for you. He really wanted to see if you trust his word more than the circumstance that you're going through. Anybody besides me? That kind of stings. You think, "I trust you, Lord." But we go through these circumstances, and we begin looking at the circumstances more than we're seeing what the Lord has said. And I'm going to tell you, that'll preach. That'll preach. If you'll live it, that'll preach. That'll touch your heart. There are a lot of people that say that they rest in the Lord, and they have no idea what that means. "I'm resting in the Lord." They look real spiritual, but they have no clue what that really means. They say one thing, and their lives show a different thing. "I trust in the Lord," and you look at them and they're panicked over something that you really would think that they wouldn't be. To know what it means to rest in the Lord is to look at Scripture and see what he says and follow it and follow the examples that are given. I think of some passages. Mark 6:32 says, "So they went away by themselves into a boat to a solitary place." I want you to know something. If you're really going to rest in the Lord, you need quiet time with him. You need quiet time with him. This world won't give you a moment. Your kids will take every minute that they can take. The job will take every minute that they can take. Everything about that is going to steal time away from you. And if you do not purposely take a solitary place and make that your prayer closet, whether that's your bedroom, whether that's another spot in your house, but a place where you're going to allow God to do some work, you're going to miss it. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose mind are steadfast because they trust you." Resting in God, resting in the peace that comes from God is found in steadfast, being fastened down and putting your trust in him. It's kind of like the game where you remember this as a kid. Maybe I'm giving my age away. Where you just would stand there and you lay back, and somebody would catch you, and you're trusting that they would be there. Now that's great, as long as you can trust the people that are back there to catch you. I saw this YouTube video. It was funny because I'm sitting there and I'm trying to do some research on this sermon, and the guy standing there, there were some people back there, and he was ready to fall, and they're ready to catch him, and all of a sudden he went forward. And I'm thinking, now that wasn't expected. So you really got to know, if you're going to trust the Lord, know what directions he's going. Know where you're headed and what he wants out of you. Charles Spurgeon says, time is not a waste of time. Amen? Rest time is not a waste of time. It is economy to gather fresh strength. It is wisdom to take occasional furloughs. In the long run, we shall do more by sometimes doing less. Augustine says, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." Amen. Christ in this invitation, in this weary and heavy laden life that we live on, he tells us if we're going to be a new creation, if we're going to have a new principle, if we're going to have a new way of life, Jesus is telling us, watch my ways of doing things and follow me. Amen. Watch the way I'm doing it in this passage. I'm resting in God the Father. I trust him. He's not going to lead us astray. He's not going to take us out in the middle of the lake and drown us after he said we're going to the other side. The disciples were to rest in the fact that Jesus spoke these words. He was resting. They were to rest. He said, let's go to the other side. It was a directive. It wasn't an option. He said, let's see if we can make it to the other side. It wasn't a game. Over 70 times in the Bible talks about resting in the Lord. And if you don't think companies think that you don't need rest, why is there so many commercials on mattresses? Every channel you turn on, somebody's selling some kind of a mattress with some kind of gizmo and gadgets that will make your sleep better. I laughed with Becky. I told her, I said, I don't need memory foam on my bed. I said, because every time I lay my head, my brain starts working. I don't need a memory bed. And she laughs. She'll say amen because it's true. I could be dog tired sometimes and I'll lay my head and all of a sudden my brain starts racing. You know what I need? An off button. Lord, shut this thing down. Cause this to allow me to just rest in you. And sometimes I wonder if the lack of sleep that most people live in is their regular realm. I wonder if that's not why they struggle with their spiritual walk. That because you're so exhausted. God, I want to pray, but I don't have one bit of ounce to pray. You know, people say, well, I fell asleep while I was praying. I think that is the greatest thing ever. To trust in the Lord and to be able to fall asleep in him is great. Let's not try to make it the first 2 minutes that we're talking to him, though. Let's spend a little time with him anyways. So number one is resting in the Lord. The second part of this is being in his presence. It's one thing to rest in the Lord and understand what it is to rest in the Lord. But the second part of that, if we're really going to see growth, if we're really going to see the power of God working in our lives, it's going to be not only resting in him, but getting into his presence. There has to be this hunger for God. Amen? We've lost the hunger for God to get desperate enough and to realize that without the Lord showing up on a Sunday morning, it just would be this. It would be song, prayer, encouraging message, done. Repeat. You know what I'm saying? The Lord has to show up. We need to be hungry for the Lord. We need his presence, his anointing, his words to touch our hearts to be open. Without the anointing of power of God, we won't see and we won't experience what God wants for our lives. And I believe there's coming a time that we're going to see revival in the churches. I really believe it. As people begin to get hungry, as people begin to see that this world isn't offering them up all the things that they thought it would. And I believe that revival will break out in this nation, not only our church, but in the nation. And we'll see people crying out to God and asking him for more of himself. And That wasn't even planned with Fred this morning, saying about, hey, God wants more. He didn't know what I was bringing, and I didn't know what he was saying, but that's a God thing, because it is. We need more of the Lord without his power, without his anointing. And I believe that Christians, the things that they need the most is to get into the presence of God and allow God to do the things that he wants to do. I believe that God is looking for people like David. And when people are looking for God in that same fervent way, I believe that God is going to do some tremendous things. When you put a person with a heart of David desiring to see God do something amazing, you put them two people together, and I believe they're going to make an impact in the community. I believe that they're going to make a difference. He said this. He said, catch on fire, and people will come to see you burn. Catch on fire, and people will come to see you burn. Because they want what you have. They want to see what God is doing in our lives. Our prayers, our daily time with the Lord keeps us spiritually hungry and gives us this appetite for more instead of less, taking us closer instead of farther away. God wants to fill us to overflowing with His Spirit and allow us to be poured out into this community that He's called us to, into our workplaces, into our homes. Operating in His presence is an intentional act. Say amen to that. You want more of God, you got to get in God's presence. You want to be hungry for the Lord, you have to seek after the things of God. Our desire, if we're not careful, our attitude gets a little funky. Say amen to that. I've talked to some funky Christians. You've ever experienced some funky Christians? Ever experienced Christians with such an attitude, you swear to God, they say, I love Jesus, but their attitude doesn't say it. Their emotions don't say it. Their priorities don't say it. Their schedules don't say it. You know, this week I put out on our sign out there, we are better together, community. And it is true. We are better together. We need each other. I need you. You need me. We need each other in the church to lift us up, to be an encouragement, to help us on those days that we're falling down and we can't get up. That sounds like a commercial. We are better together and we need each other. We need the Lord's anointing. We need the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. We need transformation. Amen? When you look at God's word, what He wants to do in our lives, and we see some of the things that are going on in other people's lives, we just say, God, there has to be a transformation. There has to be a change. There has to be a changing of the guard. There has to be a changing of heart. I want you to know it can only go well with your soul if you're right in a right relationship with the Lord. Our district supervisor, Reverend Kerry Willis, I love the man. He, if anything, he would be considered my pastor as we get together, and he's always making sure everything's right. One of the phrases he uses all the time is presence matters most. I mean, every letter you get from him, every email that he sends you, every time that you're in a prayer meeting with him, or if you're in his sermon and he's preaching to you, he will always end with present matters most. And it's true. We need the Lord. We need Him to be in our lives. We need Him to be important to us. We need to make sure that we're desiring for His presence. So as we close it up here this morning, I'm going to ask you to quiet your heart for a moment. I'm going to ask you to search your heart to find out, you know, if your heart is restless or if it's resting. Amen? Only you can answer that. I'm not looking for you to jump up and wave your hand this morning to say either way, but I'm asking you to take a moment and search your heart to really ask the right question of yourself. Are you restless or are you resting? Because one is doing everything your way and one is doing it God's way. And the very thing, the Lord would say, the very thing that maybe you're trying to hold on to is the very thing that you need to let go of. Maybe He's telling you this morning that the very thing that you say to others that, you know, you have control of, maybe He's saying to you this morning, that's the very thing that you're out of control in. Maybe this morning you are only hanging on by a thread. And he's offering you a lifeline. Amen? He's offering you a lifeline. If you would admit this morning that you are restless, if you would admit maybe this morning that you're burning the candle at both ends and it's not working, maybe if the Lord's talking to you, you're saying, God has taken a back seat and I really know that and I need to regroup and today is the day that I'd like to do that. Maybe for some, you're saying, you know what, I need to get plugged in because I have free time, and when I have free time, I get myself into trouble. And if I got plugged into a ministry, plugged into a small group, plugged into a time where we got together, maybe that light wouldn't be so dim. And maybe I wouldn't be spending time in the wrong places. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you just say, you know what, I've never really made a commitment to the Lord. I've never really thought about it that way, and I've never made a commitment, and I've never had the right relationship. Then this morning I would ask you that you need to confess that to the Lord. You need to confess that you're a sinner. You need to confess that He is the one that can forgive you of those sins, and today you're going to change the way you think, the way you operate, that you're going to change the priority that you live your life. Presence matters most. And I believe He's here. I believe He's been here since the beginning of the service and desires to give you that rest. I believe He desires to speak to the things going on in your life. I believe the two things that people are looking for is rest and His presence. I believe He has that for you this morning. So if that's you this morning, in a moment, we're going to have a prayer, and that's going to be between you and the Lord. Wherever that fit in for you is the thing that you ought to be praying for. And for others this morning, if you love the Lord and you're doing everything right and you feel like you're going through it and you need strength and you need power, then you need to be asking the Lord for that this morning. Take this time and just call out to Him and be honest with Him. Lord, I'm on empty. Lord, I got a bad attitude. Lord, I don't understand what's going on. The Lord to give you insight. Ask the Lord to provide everything that you need. So in the case of all of this prayer this morning, every single one of us ought to be asking the Lord for something. Amen. Every single one of us, whether you're a Christian for one day or you're a Christian for 30 years, there ought to be something that you're asking the Lord this morning, right now, to do. And if you have nothing else and you think you're right now you're at a perfect spot, how about praying for somebody that you know isn't there? Asking the Lord, where can I be a blessing? Where can I show kindness? Where can I be a minister to them and lift them up? What would you have me to do? So would you just bow your head this morning? Father God, I come to You humble-hearted, desiring Your presence just like everyone else, desiring, Lord God, for Your rest, because the days do run together. There is always somewhere to be, something to do, something that keeps you near a panic mode at times. Lord God, I'm asking that as each one of us bow our head, that, Lord God, we would be honest with You, search our hearts to see exactly what it is. First of all, if we don't have a relationship with You, Lord God, today, may we call out to You and ask You to forgive us of our sins, take You as Lord of our lives. Doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. It just means we're going to be redeemed. And asking You, Lord God, to work in our lives, that each day we would be more Christ-like. I'm asking, Lord God, for anything between that and the Christian believer that is going through a hard time and doesn't understand what's going on. Lord God, wherever we are in our journey, would we ask You to be involved? Would we ask You to intervene? Would we ask You for strength and guidance? For those that need a financial blessing, I pray, Lord God, open up the windows of heaven and provide what is needed. For those that have been suffering physically, Lord God, would You bring healing in the powerful name of Jesus? for those that are struggling with doubt, and then some that let the world just overtake them because of the ugliness. Lord God, would you fill them with your love and allow them to understand how much you love them so that they could love someone else. They could reach out. May each one of our families be blessed with your anointing. May each day, may each one of our families make you a priority in our lives. May each day we take that time to spend with you, to allow you to do what's needed in our lives. I believe I hit everyone this morning, including this preacher, right between the eyes, that, Lord God, there is times that we need to be so sensitive with things going on in our lives. We need to be honest, and we need to respond. So whatever that is this morning, Lord God, may each and every one of us find that in our journey with you, and that you would get honor and glory, and that you would help us each step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen.